The following message was given by brothers Dennis Cooley and Peter Shao in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 4th, 2019. The title of the message is Experiencing Christ as Our Constant Salvation. Scripture reading, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, and Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21.
Love your word. Pray that you would speak to every one of us this morning. Thank you for this rich portion of your word. We do pray that we could take it into our heart would be the good ground, that you could implant this word deep in our hearts. Oh Lord, that we would be those obeying you. We would be those working out our own salvation. Thank you for your operation in us. Pray that you would operate more in us these days. Amen. Amen. Well, this week we come to a very precious portion in Philippians chapter 2. But before I get started, I'd like to say something. I'm really happy to see all of you after so many weeks of being away. I don't think I've been here for over a month on the Lord's Day. So anyway, praise the Lord for the saints in New York. Good to see your smiling faces. Very encouraging to see all of you this morning. You know, we heard something in the training that was quite precious. One of the brothers overlooked, you know, all the saints, and he said, "You are beautiful." The saints are really beautiful, especially when you're away from them for so long. You really miss them. Anyway, we're coming to this portion in Philippians chapter 2, and we've been in the book of Philippians for a few weeks now, and I feel this is a very timely conference for us, this conference from Seattle on the experience of Christ. And I may have mentioned this the last time we were I was with you together. I feel these conferences are very timely. One, because they're on the reality of the body of Christ. That was Thanksgiving in Charlotte. Then the Chinese-speaking conference was on living in the reality of the body of Christ by practicing the principles of the body. And then this conference comes to the experience of Christ, which very much, it not just complements, it gives us a secret and the handle of how to live in the reality of the body of Christ. And I say this in the context of an experience I had. I was in Jerusalem about a month ago, and the brothers took me to the Wailing Wall on a Saturday night, which is not Shabbat. Shabbat is Friday night. But that weekend was a double Shabbat, double Sabbath for them, starting of Pentecost, I believe. Anyway, I went there, and there were, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 Jews at the wall praying at 11:30 at night. And the brothers told me they will go on through the night. They will just go on praying through the night. And I was just very much impacted by this. I realized we do have something in common. We're both praying for the Lord's coming. We're both praying for the Lord's coming. Amen. Right? Of course, their idea of the Lord's coming is a little different than ours. We're praying for the Lord to come again. But I still was touched by this, that, you know, they're praying. They're desperately praying for the Lord to come. But in my realization, if we don't practice to be the reality of the body of Christ, if we're not exercised to live in the reality of the body of Christ, we are delaying the Lord's coming. We need this experience of Christ and these precious portion of Philippians to live in the reality of the body of Christ. Everything is hinging on our becoming the reality of the body of Christ. Objectively, we already are the body of Christ. But if you check with your experience, I have to confess, I am not living in the reality of the body that much in my daily life. I need more of the experience of Christ, of the enjoyment of Christ. I need more time with the saints, praying with the saints, to be built up together, to be living in the reality of the body of Christ. You know, in the fall, we became very, well, the self, you know, right? We became the self. And we become very self-centered. And, you know, in society today and in our education, we're very much building up the self. We have to take care of ourselves. And that is a real enemy of the body of Christ. The self has to be denied. Really, to live in the reality of the body of Christ, I have to die. And we just don't want to die sometimes. We get in our You know, maybe we have an argument with somebody and we want to make our point, so we're just not going to stop. We want to really drive it home, you know. We're just not willing to die. And that keeps us from living in the reality of the body of Christ. And there are a couple other things in this portion that do that. And before I come to Philippians chapter 2, I want to read Hebrews 5:8. I think we have it on the portion here. This actually was from last week's portion. I was very, very touched by last week's portion. Of course, I was away at that time. But anyway, let's read this verse together. Even though he learned obedience from the things, this phrase really struck me. Even though he was the Son, he learned obedience. And on in the middle of the week, I think it was day two, last week, we had this portion. It was harder for the Son of God to learn obedience than it was for God to create the universe. Do you remember reading that? That was a striking sentence to me. It was much harder for in the Godhead, for there to be a decision made that, okay, we're going to have to work this out here. The Father is the real authority. And the Son has to obey the Father's will. This was not heard of in the Godhead. God has never had to obey anyone. Am I right? But this portion brought this out. The Son had to, and we read the verses in Philippians, he has to be obedient, even unto the death of a cross. Obedience is a very crucial principle in God's purpose and in his plan. And we'll see that hopefully this morning in this portion. We have to learn how to obey, right? Paul said, you know, even though I'm absent, you need to take care of this obedience. We have to obey God's will. We have to obey God's leading. And in this context of this portion, we have to obey the operating God who is working out in us his full salvation. It's marvelous. God is working it out. We don't have to do anything on the one hand, but we have to let him work it out. We have to let this mind be in us. We have to exercise our will to let this mind be in you. What mind is that? That is the mind of Christ who humbled himself, who emptied himself, who laid aside all of his glory, all of his power, everything he had. He laid it aside to become obedient, to become submissive to the Father. Submission was not in the Godhead until Christ learned the obedience and became obedient even unto death to submit to the Father's will. You know, in Gethsemane when he prayed, if there's any way you can take this cup from me, please take it. I don't want to pass through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That submission to God's will is in the person of Christ today who is living in you and me. That obedience to God's will is the person of Christ today who is living inside of us. Amen. So we have the capacity, we have the possibility, we have actually the availability to also obey God's operation in us and to allow him, to allow this mind of Christ to be in us. We have other verses that use this word let, which really struck me this week. Yesterday we were on this word with the young people. We're on the topic of the Bible, and we're very burdened for their daily Bible reading is one of the areas of burden for them. And Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You have to let it. The word is here. You have the Bible here. But if you don't use your will to pick it up and open it up, how is it going to dwell in you? You have to use your will. We very much concentrate and emphasize our human spirit. And we should emphasize our human spirit. We have to use our spirit when we take in the word. But if you don't use your will to open the Bible, it's meaningless, right? We can't let the word dwell in us without letting the word. We have to exercise. And it's the same with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to exercise our will. Even every day, Lord, I turn my heart to you. What is that? That's exercising your will to turn. Yes, you want to Lord, I set my mind on the Spirit. What is that? That's your will. I think I've mentioned this to you several times. Forgive me for repeating it. But the strongest thing in this universe is your will.
Amen.
It's your will. You choose. When I was young, we had a comedian that said, use this kind of line, the devil made me do it. Well, I have to say to that comedian, the devil can't make you do anything. He can tempt you, but you choose to do it. You have to choose. You have to exercise your will. And so it's the same with us, with letting the Word. And the same with us is letting this mind be in you. We have to exercise our will. Lord, infuse me with your mind. Renew my mind. I like to have this kind of mind, a self-emptying mind, a humbling mind. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, right? We ought to honor all the saints much far above ourselves. We're nothing. We're no one. But you have to let this mind be in you to have this kind of an attitude. I just feel this portion is very helpful. The title this week is Experiencing Christ as Our Constant Salvation. And that is referring to verse 12, right? So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, and this word obedience is very important in this section, obeying, not as in my presence only, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I just want to spend most of my time on this verse. This salvation that Paul speaks of in Philippians here is not our eternal salvation. We cannot work out our eternal salvation. Our salvation is by faith. We believe, and by faith we receive. We have received the grace of God. It is a gift by faith, not by our works. But once we receive our salvation of this eternal life, once we have this life within us, He doesn't want to just stay in our spirit stagnant. He wants us to grow in this life. He wants to spread into our whole being, our mind, emotion, and will, our soul first, and eventually spread out even to our mortal body. Our salvation has a consummation. It has an end, and that is that one day we will be glorified.
Amen.
We will even have a body like the resurrected body of the Lord. That is what God's full salvation comprises. That's what we're working out. It is a constant daily salvation. We need to allow this mind to be in us and take Christ as the pattern. His mind is the pattern, right, of this constant salvation. He is our obedience. He is our strength. He's our supply. We need to let Him fill us day by day to be our daily constant salvation. Actually, in this portion, we read this portion this week the ministry portions, it mentions this, that actually Christ is our salvation. He is our obedience. He is the constant salvation. And of course, He is the pattern that lives in us. And so we need to follow this pattern. Let me just read these verses again. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. This is the Lord's experience. Then, therefore, God also highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So I think one of these days we had it mentioned that this, of course, this is the Lord's experience. But now we need to enter into this pattern so that we also can enter into this kind of experience of being emptied. But eventually, the end of our salvation is that we too will be glorified. So in this portion, Christ as our pattern is clearly emptied out, becoming obedient, even emptied himself as a slave, in the form of a slave, and becoming obedient even unto death. After that, now God can highly, you know, exalt him and glorify him. And it's the same with us in our experience of God's full salvation. So we are in the process. We're on the road, right? We're traveling on this road, and we need to be exercised to also let this mind be in us, that we would not think more highly of ourselves, and also to open to the operation of the operating God within us. Amen. This verse in Hebrew was quite strong to me, helpful to me. He learned obedience. And I think it's the same with us. We need to learn. And if you don't practice, you won't learn. We need to open up and practice and learn. There is the anointing of there's the operating God in us. That's just the anointing within us. And we need to practice to listen to that anointing, to sense the anointing, and to obey the anointing. The more you obey the anointing, the more he anoints you. The more you obey the anointing, the more Christ is making his home in your hearts. The more of this salvation is being real to us in our experience by obeying the inner operating God. And he is operating both the willing and the working for what? For his good pleasure. It's to work out his will. It's to work out his good pleasure. It's to bring all of his sons into glory. Praise the Lord. We sang that hymn, 30, you know. Well, first we sang one hymn about Revelation 14, Hark 10,000 Voices Crying. That's the end of our salvation. And also in 39, we're praising the Lord for his marvelous, marvelous salvation. So today, we need to be exercised. And what are we, and in this portion, it also tells us, what are the main frustrations to our allowing this operating God to work in us, and that is very minor things, seemingly, murmuring and reasonings. Murmurings and reasonings. And you know, in the life study, it mentions murmurings are mostly related to our emotions, so probably more to the sisters, reasonings more to the mind, more to the brothers. I'm not sure that's really true. I'm a very emotional person, so I do a lot of murmuring myself. So, you know, I think we're not. You know, we're subject to both of these things, whether you're a brother or a sister. But these little things can, you know, they really eat away at our experience of the Lord. And they frustrate our experience of the Lord. You know, I heard a testimony recently that was quite vivid to me that a brother serving, you know, like we are serving in the churches and serving in the church where he is. And there was some arrangement being made among the serving ones and so forth, and he was put in a certain area and other brothers were put in another certain area, and he just did not like this arrangement. It wasn't fair and it didn't make sense. He had a better arrangement. He thought it should be this way, it should be that way, and he felt, and I know I'm right. And he was just reasoning and reasoning, and eventually the Lord just, you know, he went to the Lord. Lord, how can you let this happen? He was complaining. And the Lord said, do all things without murmurings and reasonings. It really touched him. Do all things without murmurings and reasonings. And then he said, I still think I'm right. So, you know, even the Lord speaks to us sometimes. We have a hard time, you know, getting through. But eventually he said, eventually I just said, amen, Lord, amen. And he just obeyed. Do all things. That's the inner anointing. Do all things without murmur. And then he said, as soon as I said amen, I obeyed, he said, then I just had the peace. No more reasonings, you know, and no more murmurings. Those are the little, I don't know, gophers, the little, you know, things that eat away at our experience of God's salvation. And I'm very encouraged that, you know, our salvation is not only eternal. Praise the Lord, we have an eternal salvation. But our salvation is also daily, and it's constant. And so we need to exercise to enjoy and obey the operating God and enjoy Christ as this marvelous pattern of submission and obedience. All that we need is in the Spirit. It's in this all-inclusive Christ who dwells in our spirit. So may we be those who open every day, turn to the Lord every day, and experience this wonderful operating God. Just want to end with 1 Samuel 15:22. I think we have it here. This just shows us the importance of obedience to the Lord. This is when Saul was told to go and kill all the tribe, in taking the good land, and when he came back, Saul came back. The prophet asked him, "So, you know, how did it go?" And he said, "Yes, I did." Let's read this together. And Samuel said, "Okay, wait a minute before we read it." So he came back and he told the prophet, "I did all that Jehovah asked me to do." And then the prophet said, "What is this bleating I hear?" He hears the sheep bleating, and he hears some cattle lowing. He hears the animals, right? And so then he said, let's read this verse. And Samuel said, "Does Jehovah delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." God told him to kill all those sheep, to destroy all those animals. He brought them back and told Samuel, "Oh, I just brought the good sheep back to offer to Jehovah as sacrifices." And this is what the Lord spoke through the prophet. Does God delight in this more than obedience? No. And so because of that, the kingdom was rent from Saul because of his disobedience. So it's to the Lord, obedience is everything. Submission is everything. We have to listen to the inner anointing and cooperate with the operating God that he could work out his salvation in us. Amen.
Sorry, saints, could you go back to those verses in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, please? Thank you. Saints, could we read these two verses together again? "So then, my beloved, in week two, we saw Christ as the pattern, and what a pattern that was. Christ has such a mind. Christ existed, or he exists, in the form of God, yet he did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped. So what did Christ do? He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He became in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he further humbled himself. And he became obedient even unto death. And that death, the death of a cross. And after giving us a clear view of Christ as this wonderful pattern in verses 5 through 11, in verse 12, Paul says, "So then, my beloved, work out your own salvation." This indicates that the pattern in verses 5 through 11 needs to become our salvation. Or the pattern in verses 5 through 11 is the salvation in verse 12. As Brother Dennis shared, we receive this salvation by faith once for all. But now we need to work out this salvation that we received. We have to carry out the salvation we received, and we have to carry out the salvation to its ultimate conclusion. The Lord Jesus lived on the earth as a certain way, as a pattern that we see in the four Gospels and Philippians. And then in resurrection, he as the pattern became our inward life. And now the Lord is trying to duplicate, is trying to reprint that pattern within each one of us. Amen. This kind of reprinting, duplicating, is our constant salvation. But I was, as same as our brother, I was very touched that, you know, saints, the Lord did not leave us to carry out this salvation by ourselves. Rather, he says in verse 13, for it is God who operates in you. Amen. Oh, God operates in us. Amen. Do you have this realization that, number one, Christ is in you? And number two, he's not only in you, but Christ is not idle. He's not dormant, and he's not passive. In fact, the Christ that is in us is very active. Christ is active, Christ is living, and Christ is moving. And what is this Christ doing in each one of us? He is making us all a pattern. He is saving us and making us a pattern. You know, this was the Apostle Paul's experience. We know that when Paul first received Christ as his pattern, the pattern was not in Paul that much. He was just a young believer. He needed a new member, an unknown member, Ananias, to lead him and help him. But eventually, as Paul experienced a constant salvation through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, listen to Paul's testimony. He became a duplication of the Christ that went to the cross. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Is Paul not a duplication of the crucified Christ? In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. Christ was the one who died, but Paul became a reprint of the Christ who died on the cross. This was Paul's salvation. So, same with us. Little by little, the Lord is making all of us a reprint, a duplication of himself as the pattern, whether in a specific encounter, in a specific situation, or in the constant little things in our daily living. Now, that was just kind of to recap the first part. I want to get to my burden for today, which was what Brother Dennis said about the will and obedience. You know, saints, having said all this, for us to experience Christ as our constant salvation, there is a crucial response that is required on our behalf. If you look at verse 12, Paul says, so then my beloved, and he speaks of salvation, he says, even as you have always obeyed. Paul was referring to the obedience of Christ in verse 8. And now he says, even as you have always obeyed. So what is our response to the operation of God within each one of us? Our response is obedience. Although God operates in us, we need to obey the inner operating, energizing God. We bring our salvation to its ultimate conclusion by our constant and absolute obedience to the God who operates in us. Obedience, saints, is our cooperation to his operation. His operation needs your cooperation through your obedience. You know, we have a very sweet hymn that actually, when I was in the children's meetings here downstairs, and we would often sing, Trust and Obey, right? Can we all sing the chorus of that? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. You know that, saints, the melody is so sweet, it's so tender, it's so warm. But I would say, saints, don't let your guard down with regards to obedience. The Bible underscores the importance of obedience. As Brother Dennis brought in 1 Samuel 15:22, King Saul had disobeyed the command of Jehovah in leaving alive some of the spoils that he had received from battle. And after Saul had disobeyed God, God spoke through Samuel the prophet to Saul directly. And listen to what Jehovah said. I'll read verses 22 and 23. Part of it. He said, to obey. This is speaking, God speaking to Saul now. To obey is better than sacrifice. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he has also rejected you from being king. And just like that, from that moment forward, the kingship moved from Saul to David, and it never returned to Saul again. And it said Samuel mourned for Saul all the days of his life. All because of what? Disobedience in one matter. And whereas Saul was a negative example, the Lord Jesus was a positive pattern. Christ was obedient to the death of a cross. And this was a striking aspect of Christ as our pattern. Okay, and now I will say something about, make a point of application in our experience. Brothers and sisters, do we have the habit of obeying the Lord? Of obeying the Lord's speaking within? I don't just mean the Logos, the constant Word of God, the Word of the Bible. I mean, do we have a habit of obeying the Lord's Word, His constant Word, His instant Word, His present Word, His personal Word? Do we have a habit of obeying that Word? Or have we grown accustomed to tuning out the Word of the Lord from our casual disobedience? I am very burdened about this. You know, sometimes I hear one thing from the young people and the young adults. And they tell me, I struggle with the world. I struggle with hidden sins. And I don't feel that enjoying the Lord solves all of my inward problems. Have you ever thought that? I know I have to enjoy the Lord, but my hidden sins, my inward problems, they're all still there. I personally struggle with this for years. Because obedience seems like something out of the law. Something of our self-effort. Well, brothers and sisters, I would like to put this carefully and in order. Number one, we need to enjoy the Lord more. But number two, obedience and enjoying the Lord should go together. You know, Adam, he also had to what? Just enjoy the Lord. In a way, in a sense, Adam just had to what? He just had to take the tree of life. But how did Adam fail? In Romans 5:19, God's word is inexplicably clear. In Romans 5:19, God says, through the disobedience of one man, the many were constituted sinners. So Adam just had to, he had to just enjoy the tree of life. But what caused the fall of humanity? Disobedience. So we should desire to enjoy the Lord more, to enjoy the Lord to the uttermost. Oh, but saints, you just check with your experience. Your enjoyment often comes through as a result of your obedience. Is that not true? Your enjoyment often comes because you have obeyed the Lord. For example, if I disobey the Lord speaking in the morning, Peter, get up. Get up and spend time with me. And I disobey the Lord. How much can I really enjoy him during the day at work? Not a lot. Because my enjoyment is lacking because of my disobedience. And consider also how we received grace. That verse, Romans 5:19, it says this. So also through the obedience of the one, many will be constituted righteous. And later it says grace superabounds and grace reigns. So saints, grace superabounds and grace reigns through our obedience. And I want to read you a few sentences from the book, The Experience of Life, just a few sentences. I think our brother speaking of the ministry would really confirm our experience. He said, "The supply of God's grace is always dependent upon our trust and obedience. If we trust and obey, the supply of God's grace follows. Otherwise, the supply will not be forthcoming. God always desires that we first obey by faith in response to his demands. Then he will supply us with his grace." So brothers and sisters, enjoyment comes through obedience. Obedience brings in more enjoyment, and more enjoyment will bring in more obedience because you'll have the grace to obey him. This is really a healthy cycle. So there are two levels of application. You know, this word on the saturated with the word of life and now obedience. And the first, I'll give you two words. The first word is saturation. We must spend the time and make the time, even schedule the time, to be saturated with the word of life every day. You know, I told the young people recently, they were fifth graders and sixth graders. They were like the youngest, the newest believers. And I told them, "Brothers and sisters, I have an assignment for you. Read the Bible for 5 minutes a day." And oh, this precious little fifth grade sister, she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, just 5 minutes a day." And she said, "Thank you for being so kind." And then I found out some serving once told them to read an hour a day. I thought, oh my, these are fifth graders. Saints, same thing. Just read the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible every day, read the Bible 5 minutes a day. Be saturated with the word of life. Oh, even learn to sing, read the word. I can't say too much, I don't have the time, but that portion was so precious. Sing the word more. Okay, so the first word is saturation. The second application is this word, obedience. We have to obey the word. So now you've been saturated with the word, and you have the Lord's word within. Now our response is to exercise the faculty, not the willpower, but the faculty of our will to obey the Lord's word in us. For example, and these are real life examples. For example, in the morning, we may pray over Philippians 2:4. "Considering one another more excellent than yourselves." Isn't that a marvelous verse? And after you pray this in the morning, you work the whole day, and then you walk into a coordination meeting in the evening, a brother's coordination meeting. And then when the brothers start to open their mouth, you start to think, "Oh, why does this brother always talk so much? This brother should talk less." And then when I think that, oh, the Lord's word rises up within and says what? "Peter, considering one another more excellent than yourselves." And what is your response? "Lord, that was in the morning. Now it's the evening." So you don't obey the word. The word of life was there. The saturation was there, the little bit of it at least, but you did not obey the word. Or give you another example. You pray in the morning, also from Philippians, "Christ Jesus emptied himself." So you say, "Lord, help me to experience you as the one who emptied yourself." And then at night, you go home to your spouse, either your husband or your wife, and you get into a disagreement, and you just want to make your point. And the Lord's word comes again. "Christ Jesus emptied himself. Let this mind be in you." And what do you say? You say, "Lord, not right now. Right now I'm unhappy. Right now, it's inconvenient for me to empty myself. And we deny the word again. We deny the word of its power. Brothers and sisters, obedience is crucial to our as our response to God's operation. So what should we do? We should just open to the Lord. You know, we will find that it is very hard for us to obey the Lord's word. And by that, again, I mean primarily the Lord's instant word to us all the time during the day, at work, at home, serving, whatever. And when we are in a find ourselves in an occurrence of obeying or disobeying, just tell the Lord, Lord, I know I should obey, but Lord, it's very hard for me to obey. But you are the pattern within me, and I want to receive you right now as my pattern of obedience. Lord, obey in me. Carry out the obedience in me that I do not have. Brothers and sisters, if you open to the Lord in this way, you will not only be saturated with the word of God, you will obey the Lord's word. So, allow the Lord to be your constant salvation and reproduce himself in all of us. Don't let the enemy take advantage of you. Use your will to obey and not disobey. Trust and obey. Amen.